Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Marshall Lessons in Leadership is a concise leadership biography focused on General George C. Marshall, the U.S. Army Chief of Staff during World War II and later Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, written by H. Paul Jeffers with Alan Axelrod. The book belongs to the Great Generals series and is designed to distill practical lessons from Marshall's career rather than offer an exhaustive scholarly life study. Its subject is unusual even among military biographies, because Marshall is remembered not mainly for battlefield heroics, but for strategic administration, coalition management, diplomacy, and post-war reconstruction. The book emphasizes how his disciplined approach to planning, his ability to work with difficult personalities, and his belief in teamwork shaped both wartime victory and the Marshall Plan. As a result, it serves readers who want a compact historical portrait that connects military history with broader questions of leadership, public service, and international rebuilding. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Marshall as a leader of strategy, planning, and execution. One of the book's central ideas is that Marshall's importance came less from dramatic personal combat leadership than from his mastery of organization and strategy at the highest level. As chief of staff, he helped shape the American war effort through planning, resource coordination, and institutional discipline. The authors present him as someone who understood that effective leadership is not just vision, but the ability to turn vision into executable policy. This matters because it shifts attention away from battlefield charisma and toward the quieter work of building systems, setting priorities, and making difficult trade-offs. Marshall's career shows that leadership can be measured by the quality of preparation and the reliability of execution. The book uses this point to show why administrators, officers, and civilian leaders alike can learn from a figure who combines strategic judgment with operational follow-through. Secondly, coalition management and the politics of working with strong personalities. A major theme is Marshall's capacity to hold together a wartime coalition made unstable by strong-willed commanders and competing national interests. The book repeatedly points to his ability to work with figures such as Patton and Montgomery without letting ego-driven conflict derail larger goals. This is not treated as a minor personal virtue. It is presented as a leadership skill essential to successful command in a coalition war. Marshall's style depended on restraint, fairness, and a commitment to the mission above personal recognition. That makes the book especially useful for readers interested in organizational leadership, because it frames conflict management as a practical necessity rather than a soft skill. The lesson is that leaders often succeed by creating cohesion among people who are unlikely to naturally cooperate, and by keeping attention fixed on collective outcomes instead of individual status. Thirdly, the Marshall Plan and leadership as nation building. The book gives special weight to Marshall's role in the post-war reconstruction of Europe, which earned him the Nobel Peace Prize. This is one of the clearest reasons the biography stands out. It links military leadership directly to nation building and economic recovery. The Marshall Plan is treated not simply as a historical policy success, but as evidence that leadership can extend beyond wartime command into long-term international stabilization. The authors use this achievement to show that strategic thinking must include the conditions needed for peace after victory. Marshall understood that defeating an enemy is not enough if the aftermath is left unstable and impoverished. By highlighting reconstruction, the book broadens the definition of leadership to include civic responsibility, diplomatic judgment, and institutional rebuilding. Readers come away with a model of leadership that is measured not only by winning conflict, but by creating durable conditions for peace. Fourthly, the book's leadership lessons for military and civilian readers. Although the subject is a military figure, the book is clearly written to offer lessons beyond the armed forces. Its portrait of Marshall stresses transferable habits such as careful preparation, emotional discipline, teamwork, and strategic patience. This makes the book useful for civilian leaders in business, government, and nonprofit work, where similar pressures arise around coordination, competing agendas, and long-term planning. The text does not reduce leadership to personal inspiration. Instead, it presents Marshall as a case study in how institutions function when guided by steady, principled decision-making. That practical orientation is important because it keeps the biography from becoming merely commemorative. Readers are encouraged to see leadership as a set of behaviors and priorities that can be studied and applied. In that sense, the book works both as a historical portrait and as a compact leadership manual grounded in real public service. Lastly, a concise biography that privileges clarity over exhaustive detail. Another defining feature of the book is its format. It is short, readable, and intentionally focused on the essentials of Marshall's legacy. Rather than trying to cover every aspect of his life in encyclopedic detail, it selects the episodes most relevant to leadership, diplomacy, and strategic thinking. This makes the book accessible to general readers and students who want a strong introduction without committing to a longer academic biography. The concise structure also shapes the argument itself, because the book is built to identify patterns across Marshall's career rather than linger on exhaustive chronology. That editorial choice is significant. It signals that the purpose is interpretation, not comprehensive documentation. For readers, the benefit is a clear and efficient framework for understanding why Marshall remains important. The biography stands out by combining historical substance with direct applicability, making it a practical entry point into both military history and leadership study. In conclusion, Marshall Lessons in Leadership is best suited for readers who want a compact but substantive account of George C. Marshall and the leadership principles associated with his career. Students of military history will find a focused interpretation of one of America's most important wartime administrators, while readers interested in diplomacy, public policy, and organizational leadership will benefit from its broader relevance. The book is especially useful for people who prefer biographies that translate historical experience into clear lessons without losing factual grounding. What distinguishes it from many other books in the genre is its emphasis on Marshall's quieter strengths planning, coalition management, discipline judgment, and post-war reconstruction. Instead of treating leadership as battlefield spectacle, it presents leadership as coordination, restraint, and strategic responsibility. That makes the book valuable both as an introduction to Marshall and as a model for thinking about how institutions are led under pressure. In a crowded field of military biographies, this one stands out for its brevity, clarity, and practical interpretive focus. If you would like to support Paul Jeffers, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.